Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
Stephen had been stoned, and Saul approved the execution of Stephen. Saul was a main figure of the opposition to Christianity. His eagerness to support Stephen's death anticipates the following persecution of Christians. Now we meet Saul in action. The book of Acts chapter 8 verses 1 to 3 reports the following. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Stephen had become a martyr of the Christian faith. Through him, the line of division between Christianity and Judaism was sharply drawn for the first time. Persecution came not only on the apostles, but on the whole of the early church. The Christians were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The responsibilities of the apostles to the church required them to stay in Jerusalem under the threat of arrest and death. The apostles' stay in Jerusalem would be an encouragement to those in prison and a center of appeal to those scattered. The church went underground. The scattering of the Christians, however, played a very important role because they took along the gospel and spread it. Jesus' command to preach the gospel to the world ran towards fulfillment. God transformed the evil doings of the unbelieving and opposing world in blessings. The same happens till this day in the Christian church and in the life of believers. Stephen had been stoned to death, but his friends gave a decent burial to his body. Stephen's death had a deep effect on the Christians. They missed this extraordinary man of faith and mourned him greatly. Yes, Christians grieve over the death of fellow believers. However, they do not despair, because Jesus rose from the grave and assures a glorious resurrection to all who believe in him. We are told that Saul was ravaging the church. He was one of the main agents of persecution. House after house of Christians received Saul's terrifying visit to drag off men and women and to send them to prison. Paul thought he was destroying the Christian faith. However, God remained in control and nothing could stop the advance of the gospel. Stephen's death and Saul's persecution of Christ's followers illustrates the fulfillment of the prophecy that the world would hate the gospel and kill those who believed it. On the other hand, God made the world's fanatical hatred serve his purpose in proclaiming the gospel throughout the entire world. In the sequence of events, we read in Acts chapter 8, verses 4 to 8. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds, with one accord, paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. The persecuted and scattered Christians took along what nobody could steal from them. their faith and the gospel. They proclaimed the good news. The number of witnesses multiplied and the territory covered was expanded greatly. Then we meet one of Christ's witnesses. His name is Philip. He was one of the seven men in the Church of Jerusalem chosen to assist in the distribution of food to widows. But now he acts as an evangelist, proclaiming the Christ. Philip is an example of Christian men who were scattered by the persecution. He went to the city of Samaria. This could have been the old capital Samaria, renamed Sebast or Neapolis, modern Nablus. Philip's activity comprised preaching, baptizing, casting out unclean spirits, and healing. His work drew the attention of the crowds and caused great joy in the city because many people benefited from Philip's preaching. Wherever and whenever Christ is proclaimed, the results appear. The assurance of God's love, the forgiveness of sins, and the hope in eternal salvation bring joy to believers and enable them to carry on their daily and challenging life. Are you experiencing the same? As Philip was proclaiming Christ in Samaria, he came across with a magician. Acts chapter 8, verses 9 to 13 tells us the following. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Simon became famous in Samaria because of practicing magic. The people of the city were amazed at Simon and considered him somebody great. Things that appear to be exceptional and unexplainable always stir the admiration and the amazement of the crowds. So Simon and his magic gathered many people. They saw in him a man with divine power. In early Christian literature, this magician Simon, known as Simon Magnus, is described as the arch-heretic of the church and the father of Gnostic teaching. The practice of magic was common in the ancient world. Archaeologists often find ritual incantations that invoke spiritual powers, curse people, or cast spells. Simon may have been a religious priest or a shaman of superstitious practices rather than a priest of the Samaritan religion and temple at Mount Gerizim. Simon thought too much of himself. "I'm a great guy." He claimed to be either God himself or, more likely, God's chief representative. He deceived many into believing he had divine powers. He got many followers. If Simon lived in our days, he certainly would have a host of followers on Twitter. However, followers of Simon were touched by a much mightier instrument, namely the gospel preached by Philip. They were converted to faith in Jesus and consequently withdrew from Simon. The power of the gospel overcame the empty show of Simon's magic. After hearing the gospel of Christ, both men and women were baptized. More than that, The power of the gospel reached Simon himself. He was brought under the work of God's mighty word. Simon himself believed, was baptized, and followed Philip. From now onward, the ex-magician became a witness to Jesus Christ and a supporter of the work of evangelization. News always disseminates. We are told in Acts chapter 7 verses 14 to 25. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord, that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. The preaching of the gospel in Samaria produced extraordinary results. In Jerusalem, the apostles heard that many people in Samaria received the word of God. The church in Jerusalem sent Peter and John to Samaria to check the events. The church took the responsibility of supervising new evangelistic efforts. When Peter and John arrived in Samaria, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Since the day of Pentecost, those who belong to Christ also have the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit had not yet been made manifest to the Christians in Samaria by the usual signs. The outward gift of the Spirit through the apostles' prayer and laying on of hands, served to unify the church, binding together Jews and Samaritans who practiced different yet related religions. Note that Peter and John did not rebaptize those who had been baptized. The baptism they had received was correct and valid. The one baptism conveyed the gifts of faith in Christ and eternal salvation, which are worked by the Spirit through water and the Word. In the present case, the preaching and the gift of the Spirit confirm to the believers that Jesus is the Messiah indeed. The ex-magician Simon was impressed by what Peter and John had done by laying on their hands on the believers and granting them the Holy Spirit. So he also wanted to receive the same power the apostles Peter and John had been given. But he wanted to buy that power, offering money to the apostles. That's how it works in the world of business. Things are bought with money. Simon boasted of having had great powers before, and now he tried to buy this magical power he believed the apostles possessed. He sought to purchase apostolic authority and continue his influence among the Samaritans. Peter pronounced a curse on Simon to emphasize rejection of Simon's offer. God commanded his people to provide for their servants of the word. However, the gospel and the blessings thereof cannot be bought or sold. God's blessings and authority are gifts of God and from God. Without hesitation, Peter condemned this lust for power and warned Simon that he had sinned. Then Peter called Simon to repentance, like John the Baptist and Jesus used to do. The matter was so serious that Peter anticipated swift judgment. Simon was in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. We have seen earlier that Simon had come to faith and was baptized, but later, as it happens to other believers, he misunderstood the reception of special spiritual gifts, and his heart was not right before God. Simon accepted Peter's word of admonition, repented, and immediately asked Peter to intercede on his behalf and to remove the curse. Peter certainly answered Simon's request. Having completed their job in Samaria, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem to continue the preaching of the gospel. The power of the gospel, which reaches even the most unlikely people, is illustrated in the lives of the Samaritans. God and His grace cannot be bought. A person's life is transformed only by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word. I hope God's Word is doing a marvelous job in your life, producing faith, love, peace, hope, and goodwill to serve your neighbor.
Arnold Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere, and newcomers are always welcome.
Now Philip is told to go somewhere else to evangelize. Listen to what is said in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 31. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. God uses His angels as messengers. In the present case, God sent an angel to Philip to give him clear directions to go to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. When Philip set out, he met an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. The Lord moved Philip from the exciting, expanding world in Samaria to a place with no people. Ethiopia corresponded in this period to Nubia, from the upper Nile region at the first cataract to Khartoum. Candace was the traditional title of the queen mother, responsible for performing the secular duties of the reigning king, who was thought to be too sacred for such activities. The Ethiopian man was an important official of the queen. He was in charge of the management of the money of the kingdom. He was an eunuch, a servant whose testicles were removed so that he might oversee the king's harem, without the risk of becoming romantically involved with the women. But the word eunuch could also describe an official who may not have had such an operation. While the Ethiopian was returning from worshipping in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit told Philip to approach and join the chariot. In doing so, he heard the Ethiopian reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. In ancient times, people typically read aloud. Philip asked an important question. Do you understand what you are reading? The Ethiopian was honest and said, How can I unless someone guides me? Scriptures need to be explained and readers need to be guided. This is an important task for every Christian and for the church. Therefore, Bible studies in small groups are so relevant. The Ethiopian was willing to learn and kindly invited Philip to come up into the chariot and sit with him. And then a Bible study took place right there on the road in a chariot. Acts chapter 8 verses 32 to 40 tells us exactly which passage from the prophet Isaiah the Ethiopian was reading. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this, Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This passage is part of Isaiah 53, which clearly refers to the suffering servant Jesus Christ. The lamb is Jesus who was led to the cross to be slaughtered. His life was taken. Philip explained this to the Ethiopian, making it plain that the text does not refer to the prophet, but to Jesus Christ. Philip did not only answer the Ethiopian's question, rather gave a wide explanation of the plan of salvation God designed to save sinners. Philip told the good news to the Ethiopian, the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. Philip's explanation likely included baptism because of what followed a while later. The lesson must have required some time, perhaps some hours. The travelers continued their journey talking and learning. The Ethiopian was eager to be led more deeply into the Christian faith. Therefore, he did not hesitate to ask to be baptized. See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? There could have been a brook or water from a spring or one of the many pools in the area. Philip did not hesitate to baptize the Ethiopian. The reformer Martin Luther remarks, Whoever is baptized in Christ is baptized through his suffering and blood. Or to state it more clearly, Through baptism he is bathed in the blood of Christ and is cleansed from sins. Once Philip had completed his task, the Holy Spirit took him away and the Ethiopian saw him no more. But the Ethiopian did not complain for not seeing the evangelist any longer, but went on his way rejoicing. The unplanned and unexpected event in the Ethiopian's life produced fruits right away. Salvation causes a person to rejoice. It can't be different when one comes to faith and realizes what it means to be saved from sin and receive salvation. Ethiopian Christians trace their beginning to this man. Though Ethiopian kings did not officially adopt Christianity until the year 350 AD. The Spirit of the Lord carried Philip to Azotus, one of the five chief cities of Philistia, between Gaza and Joppa, where Jews and Gentiles likely dwelt side by side. Philip traveled about in the region, preaching the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The gospel of Jesus Christ is being offered to you today. Listen to it, meditate on it, and the fruits will appear in your life. If you have not been baptized yet, get in touch with a Christian church and request baptism. Rejoice in the word and baptism through which the Holy Spirit continues to work in the lives of people.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.